I think we could say that we're busy setting a table. Two Vadim ago, we noticed the table. Last week, we put on the tablecloth. And I think tonight, the Ramchal is ready to start laying plates and maybe even some cutlery. Two Vadim ago, the opening line of the first parak, we noticed the table. Ramchal told us that if we have big dreams of building our avodas Hashem, so we have to set a solid foundation, and the solid foundation and the strong roots are going to lie in getting some clarity about the answers to two questions, really to a pair of questions to two versions of a question, getting clarity about why we're here. Getting clarity about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us. Getting clarity about where we should be investing our energies. Where we should be aiming our lives. So we notice the table. We notice these questions need to be answered. And last week we put out the tablecloth. The first layer, the most basic, was a paradigm, a perspective, a way of thinking about life. The two-stage paradigm. A two-world paradigm. Ramchal began to develop the idea of Olam Hazen, Olam Haba. Again, the idea of Olam Hazen, Olam Haba certainly way predates the Ramchal. And he pointed to, but in thinking about how they relate to each other and appreciating the significance of Olam Haba and the significance of Olam Hazen in relation to Olam Haba and because of Olam Haba. He pointed us to Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. He'll be giving more Mamari Chazal as the parak unfolds. Olam Hazeh is Domel Leprozda B'fnei Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh is the means into Olam Haba. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that to the extent we can figure it out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create a universe because he was interested in being beneficent to us. He wanted to do good for others. We are those others. We are those lucky others. We are ultimately created to be the recipients of unending, unimaginable pleasure from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of all pleasure. And as he went on to explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to create the universe such that joy and that pleasure is that much more enjoyable, far deeper and richer if in some way we've earned it, if in some way we have created it. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an Olam Haba, which is designed to be the Olam HaTanuk, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates an Olam Hazeh, which is designed and calibrated to be the Olam HaNisayon, the ultimate arena of challenge, where there are constant opportunities through self-mastery to continue to build and own our Olam Haba. So that was the basic paradigm.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, even a slow question.
Just a quick idea. I don't know if the Rav wants to address it now, but maybe it's for some other time. But Eish HaTorah's perspective comes from here. I heard the Rosh Shiva discuss many times, I think I've got it correct, that he uses this paragraph to say that Be'emes is Olam Haba, but really Hashem wants us to have pleasure here too, and the greatest pleasure is to connect with Hashem. So the purpose of creation is to have pleasure, period. Now, obviously, in Olam Haba is the real pleasure, but here you can ascend in pleasures and get to, and that is really the purpose. They sort of turn it to say, and it's not just for Balei Tshuva consumption, is they really believe this, and I've discussed this many times, but they really believe that the purpose of our lives here is to get pleasure. The true pleasure, obviously, is Dveikus. And the more pleasure you get here, the more pleasure you'll get there. Does the Rav feel that this, you can get that from here, or is it a little, it's sort of twisting it a little bit?
Is it a veritable? I think there's a lot of truth to what they're saying. It's a good question whether or not that Ramchal said it here. Again, what you're saying, which I know is famous, the founding Rosh Yeshiva Eish HaTorah, He built out these opening lines of Masil Sisharim, the pleasure principle, I think you call it, right? And you can, even if you love potato chips, there's only so much you can eat of potato chips before eventually A, you physically can't, and B, sort of it loses its sparkle.
He talks about five different levels of pleasure, and potato chips being the lowest level.
Right.
And if you want more pleasure, you can have those different levels, you know, love and meaning, and eventually is dvekas. If you really want pleasure, and that is the purpose, then dvekas is how to get it.
Right. So I think that idea, it's an important recognition. There may be diukim here as well, but he does say the ultimate place of pleasure is Olam Haba, implying clearly there's pleasure in this world as well. I think it's an important point. I think that point is critical, Ramchal's point, and we spoke about last time. It's really a mission in Pirkei Avos. Yafar Shachas Olam Haba V'Kol Tanuga Olam Hazeh. That's why the pleasure of Olam Haba ultimately is the U.S. currency compared to the monopoly money of pleasure in Olam Hazeh. And we built that out logically last time, why that makes sense. Once your belief in a Borei Olam will lead you to that. And that's why that's critically important, just in terms of laying the groundwork. Ultimately, any cost-benefit analysis, what the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos refers to as you'll have a mechashiv schar mitzvah keneged hafseid, a hafseid mitzvah keneged tzara, and make it the cost-benefit analysis of how much do I stand to gain by doing the wrong thing, and how much do I stand to lose. So it's sort of like a Pascal's wager. The pleasure of Olam Haba always trumps. The pleasure of Olam Haba is always greater than whatever. Now, again, I could think that in my head. It's one thing I think in my head, another thing to be ready to feel that my kishka is that I can actually act on it. But appreciating that any thought we have in our mind of what pleasure is like is based on such a narrow set of experiences with the paltry, meager pleasures of Olam Hazeh, recognizing Olam Haba is almost by definition way more. As we said last time, sort of taking the sum total of all pleasure in Olam Hazeh, you know, contracting into one point, this one pill, it ain't no doma to a whiff of Olam Haba. I think that's critically important. It is true as well, whether Ramchal said it here or not is a good question. He perhaps says it more, perhaps in the beginning of Das Tfunos, I think I mentioned last time. The whole presentation he gives here, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, it's much more terse than the openings of several other Svarim. He's lengthier in Derech Hashem, he's lengthier in Das Tfunos. I think the balance that the Eish HaTorah presentation provides is very important also. In other words, that the vision is not, I'm going to have a horrible life in Olam Hazeh, and every day is going to be terrible, but, you know, it's all going to pay off in the end. That's not the ideal. Sometimes life is very rough. I do have to bear in mind what the long-term picture is. But yes, the ideal is not to have a miserable Olam Hazeh and to have a lovely Olam Haba. The ideal is, certainly, what you're striving for is that the pleasure of Olam Haba, you have a Me'ein Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh as well. And whether Ramchal said that here or not, I'm not sure. But let me point you, before we see the next stage in the Ramchal's development here, I think I've shared this with some of you in the past, but I think it bears repeating. It's a Rambam at the end of, very end of Hilchas Megillah, end of Perek Beis of Hilchas Megillah. Rambam that it must have been at least 20 years ago that I heard Rabbi Willig highlight the significance of this Rambam. It's a Rambam that we're very familiar with from fundraising letters, but Rabbi Willig points out you got to read the Rambam's explanation at the end. The Rambam famously says that if you think about the four mitzvahs of Purim, so three of them cost money. Megillah I could do for free. Someone else bought a Megillah, I just come and listen. Or I bought a Megillah years ago and I use it every year. But there's obviously an annual expenditure on Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim and Matanos Avyonah. The Rambam talks about talks about what the minimum is for each. But let's say, Baruch Hashem, I am able to spend more than a minimum. So how should I allocate the discretionary spending on Purim? So the Rambam famously says that you have to, in the triaging, in the hierarchy, so Matanos Avyonah has to get the pride of place. You got to be spending, you should spend, you should spend, ideally, you should have more than a minimal suda. You should have a nice suda l'kavod purim, and there should be nice mishloach manos, but the niceness of the of one's matanos avyonim should far exceed the niceness of my shaloch manos and my suda purim. So we all know that. And again, many organizations use that as part of their letter in advance of Purim. Certainly appropriate, maybe a shameless issue, but certainly it's apt. But what's interesting is the end of the Rambam. He explains why. Right? I will point this out. Now, you would expect that the answer, how come? Well, why should I spend more on matanos avyonim? So I think we intuit, you know, because you know, taking care of someone else is more important than my simchas purim. It's very nice to enjoy purim. It's a beautiful, it's an important thing. It's a proper thing. I should have simchas purim. I should have a beautiful suda. I should have a good times with friends and mishloach manos. In Mirtzan Kadosh Baruch Hu Mizaka, so by the time purim comes around, we are medically able to enjoy purim more than we might anticipate now. But we think my simcha is very nice, but someone else is more important. The Rambam doesn't say that. I will point it out. The Rambam says, very fascinating, the Rambam says, you have to be marbe more in your matanos avyon than in your mishloach manos and in your sudas purim. Why? She'ein sham simcha gedola mefora. There's no greater, more glorious simcha than giving joy to people who are in need, giving joy to people who feel broken. And he quotes a pasuk. I may have butchered that pasuk, but more or less the pasuk in Yeshayahu that talks about Kadosh Baruch Hu being involved in reviving the people, the reviving the hearts, reviving the spirits of people who feel downtrodden. So said Rabbi Willig, read that Rambam carefully. You gotta read the Rambam like a lamdan. He didn't say because matanos avyonim is more important than simcha. He said matanos avyonim comes first because matanos avyonim is the biggest simcha. It's not simcha, my simcha versus others. It's my simcha versus my simcha. And what the Rambam is saying is, I will have simcha from having a delicious suda sporm. I will have simcha from hanging around with friends and be marba reyes and participate in their suda by giving them a shlach manos. But I'll have even more simcha by taking care of other people. So that's already touching on your pleasure principle. And Rabbi Willig suggested more. What's the Rambam's proof? Let's take another step. Rambam says, you should be more money to the matanos avyonim. Why? Because there's more simcha potential there. Okay. But then he quoted a pasuk. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved in being mechaya, the lev and the ruach of the nidkalim, the shvalim. How is that a raya to how much simcha there is? It's a beautiful pasuk. But that doesn't make the simcha argument, or does it? So I really suggested that if you piece together all the steps in the Rambam, it's very brief, the Rambam. You have to read it carefully. So he said, what's Rambam saying? No, that's why it's the greatest simcha. You know why that's the greatest simcha? Because the simcha of giving to others, the simcha of taking care of others, is not limited. It's not bounded because it's the simcha of being like Ribbono Shel Olam. When I take care of other people, when I care beyond myself, when I'm a man for others or a woman for others, as the case may be, when I'm involved in other people, so then it's not just, then I'm plugging into the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is an infinite simcha. He said the simcha of the body, the simcha of the belly, of a suras purim is absolutely important. Not something we denigrate. That's a chiyuv on purim, but it's finite. My belly is only so big. Anything physical is finite. The simcha of giving to others is the simcha sanefesh. It's a simcha of being like Ribbono Shel Olam. As a matter of fact, that's your point, David. That the simcha of giving to others is, I'm being mizdame to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm being like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in Olam Hazeh. That's, as the Rav pointed out time and again, the Ramchal pointed out, that's one of the most central mitzvahs in the Torah, is v'halachta bedrachav, to pattern ourselves. Tikkun HaMi'ez, not just Tikkun HaMi'ez, but Tikkun HaMi'ez is understanding that I'm trying to polish a personality, cultivate a personality that's more like the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's the greatest simcha, because that's beyond just me. That's plugging into Ribbono Shel Olam. And the truth is, as you're saying, that's a me'en of Olam Haba in Olam Hazeh. Because Olam Haba, as Mr. Shem goes on to say right here, Kishet Tistako Ol Vedavar Tire, Ki Ashlemus Amiti Hu Rakat Vekuzbo. The greatest perfection and the greatest enjoyment and the greatest pleasure is connectedness to Ribbon Shalom. He quotes Pasuk after Pasuk. Vani Kirvas Elokim Li Tov. That's where the terminology Kirvas Elokim comes from. From this Pasuk until tell you in the bottom, Perek Ayin Gimel. Achal Sha'alti Meis Hashem Osa Avake Shivti Beveis Hashem Kol Yimei Chaye. The Dalai Lama says the one thing he really wants of the Ribbono Shalom is to be able to sit in his home, to sit in Beis Hashem. And by the way, how does the Ramchal translate Beis Hashem? So let's keep reading. Ki Rak Zehu HaTov. This is the ultimate good. Anything that's not connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really last. To enjoy that tov, it makes sense that it's appropriate that I ought to have invested first, I ought to have worked first, I ought to have put an amal first, a melus in order to get to create it. Meaning, sheyishtadeli davik bo yisbarach bekoach masim sheltoldasam ze ha'inin veheim heim hamitzvus. The greatest good is dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to get there is to live properly, and to work hard at living properly. So it should be noted, I believe the Ramchal here is translating Beis Hashem. The fact that he thinks that pasuk Shivti Beis Hashem is relevant to this conversation. So the Rambam also, in Perek Ches or Perek Tes of Yisodei HaTorah, mm-hmm. when he discusses Olam Haba, he says there's a long list of metaphors he uses in Tanakh to describe Olam Haba. One of them he uses is a Beis Hashem. So I think the Rambam and the Ramchal are both saying the same thing, which is that Shivti Beis Hashem in that pasuk is really a reference. It doesn't mean to sit in Beis Medrash. It doesn't mean to sit in Beis HaKnesses. It doesn't even mean primarily to sit in Beis HaMikdash. Primarily it means Olam Haba. I remember distinctly, when I was a couple of years younger, hearing a fiery Musar Shmuz at a Shal Shudas. And the Darshan quoted Acha Shalti Meis Hashem, this Pasha Shiv to Yisrael Kali Meichayai, and basically the Darshan was making the argument that how could you do anything but expect to only learn Beis Medrash your entire life? At that point, I was right in YU, and the drasha was somewhat compelling, and I was feeling very conflicted afterwards. Hayitachin, that I'm going to college and majoring in math and physics and planning to go for PhD and to work in academia. So I didn't just feel, wow, hayitachin. So I didn't leave YU, but it left me somewhat conflicted. And then this line of Ramchal, there's a line of Parshanot here. He's explaining that pasuk is primarily a reference to Olam Haba. And to the extent it's an Olam Hazeh, it will be in the yes in the Beis Medrash, and yes in the Beis HaKnesses, and Halavai in the Beis HaMikdash, and in any bias, which could be the boardroom or the dining room, or anywhere else, where I work hard to connect, to be davek to Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's a bit of that joy ready here, and the ikar joy is in Olam Haba. So that's sort of the opening idea. Thank you for pointing that out, David. So this is really the tablecloth. The tablecloth of the Ramchal put on the table. If the table is that these questions need answers, and that's going to be the foundation of all ambition of Avos Hashem I'm going to build afterwards. So the tablecloth is to understand Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Olam HaNisayin, Olam HaTanug. So now let's start laying some plates and maybe even some cutlery. Let's start talking a little more lamasa. Let's start putting some flesh on the bones at least. Like where does this lead me? And one way, Ramchal, this is so important. Why is it so important? So if you appreciate the significance of Nisayon, it gives us a richer and much healthier perspective on the challenges of Olam Hazeh. And that comes up in the following paragraph. Let's take a look. Being that mitzvos and nisyonos are so central, are so important in terms of beyond what they look like. This is not WYSIWYG. This is not what you see is what you get. You just see an Olam Hazeh, but this Olam Hazeh is really building, it's creating an Olam Haba. So the nisyonos here are incredibly significant, and they have purpose beyond the here and now. And this world was, as we said, designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the ultimate Olam HaNisayon, the ultimate arena of challenge. And this world is therefore, not surprisingly, full of Rabim Bar Marchik Moshe Meni Yisbarach. This world is full of things that can pull me away, that can be marchik me, that can draw me further from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vehem Hem Atavos HaChomios, physical desire. Now, we were just talking, Sal Kaba was just talking the other week about the Jewish perspective on desire, Jewish perspective on physicality. So you might say, well, what about Ramchal saying that physical desire is automatically anathema? It's automatically third rail? No. You watch the next verb that he uses. Asher im yimasheich acharehen, hinehu misrachik v'holech min hatov ha'amiti. I will end up tending farther and farther from true goodness if I'm what? Doesn't say if I enjoy them. He says if I'm dragged, if I'm pulled after them. If I yimasheich achareihem. If I'm nimshach. In other words, if I'm no longer in the driver's seat and my typhus are just dragging me along, as a man walking the dog, as a dog walking the man. If my rational thought abdicates the driver's seat and abdicates the steering wheel, and Taiva is in charge, and Taiva is driving the car, then I'm going to end up farther and farther from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If I let it be in charge, not as opposed to asceticism and running to some mountaintop and not engaging Olam Hazeh, but as opposed to I'm making decisions, and I'm going to decide whether to engage or not. But if I give that up, and my Taiva is just run my life, yeah, then once the Taivas are in charge, I will end up, you know, further, Misrachik v'holech min hatov v'amiti. Yeah, let me just hold on for a moment, because on the in-person end, Marv is going to start in this room soon. I'd like to at least begin to touch on one critical additional point that he makes. He says, you recognize that Olam Hazeh is full of nisyonos, and it shouldn't be depressing, it shouldn't even be surprising, that Olam Hazeh, there's a lot of nisyonos Olam Hazeh. It's daunting, but it's not surprising, and it shouldn't be depressing. That's what you expect. This is meant to be the ultimate arena of challenge. But he says, not only are there a lot of them, but think about how they're structured. And think for a moment about the difference between ground troops and tzanchanim, and parachutists. The difference between ground troops, because he goes on to say that we're in a milchama chazaka, a martial metaphor. We're fighting a tough war between us and the Yetzer Hara. We do the right thing and do the wrong thing. But he goes on to say, you know, that if you're a ground troop, so then, you know, you typically, there's a line, behind you is safe, and up ahead is enemy territory. But if you're a tzanchan, if you're a parachutist, so one of the ways in which being a tzanchan is incredibly dangerous, it's not that while you're in the air, you're very much a target, but once you land, you're surrounded on all sides by enemy territory. There's no behind me that's safe. And that's what he goes on to say, that Olam Hazeh, this is what I want just to formulate, articulate now, and we'll expand on it next time. He says, part of the way in which Olam Hazeh is such a densely in Olam HaNisayon, not only there are so many nisyonos, but that it's from all sides. Sometimes I think if all my life was like that, it would be fine. Sometimes people think, you know, I don't have enough money, so I'm tempted to do the wrong thing. I'm tempted to be dishonest. If I only had enough money, then everything would be simple. Life is very, I'm at a point in my life when everything is very much in turmoil. If only life was serene, then I would have an easy time doing the right thing. But he says the truth is, he says, from each side, from each option presents its own nisyonos. Ha'oni mitzad echad, ha'oshim mitzad echad. He said, living with insufficient funds, it presents great nisyonos. Living with ample funds presents a different set of nisyonos, but no fewer nisyonos. Living, it goes on to say, Hashalva mitzarecha yisur mitzarechad. Living with suffering, great nisyonos. Living serene life has its own set of nisyonos. He says, the nimchama is panim v'achar. Each, every one of us is a spiritual tzanchan. Each and every one of us is surrounded by nisayon from all sides. It's not surprising that it's so. It is daunting. But the fact that the nisyonos are nonstop, that means that life is working. That means that you're alive in Olam Hazeh. And it means that you're challenged and have the opportunity to create Olam Haba and to create dveikus and to create pleasure way, way beyond what we could even imagine. Daunting and heartening at the same time. There's a lot more to say about appreciating it, but we've begun already to think about begin to see the glimmerings of how these ideas are not only an interesting theoretical paradigm of Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, but they're very, very practical. And they give us strength and they give us direction in terms of how to begin to think about how to live life in a spiritually more effective way. Mirchen, we will pick up with this next time. Yashkech.